Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Coming to you from Garfield, New Jersey, this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Spring training is finally underway. We're getting excited for some Yankees baseball, even though it's only spring training, just a couple of weeks off from the beginning of the 2019 season. We'll take a look at spring training today. We'll answer some important questions as we look toward this team. Does this team have enough to win the World Series in 2019? We'll break that down and more. Also, we'll discuss the non-shocking news that Jacoby Ellsbury is still injured. We'll determine how that's going to affect this Yankee team moving forward. As always, you can find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Find me on my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on the conversation. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate, subscribe, comment, review. Anything you can do on Apple, we appreciate all the feedback. Also, give us some feedback on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Simplecast. There's tons of ways to listen to our show, a lot of outlets that you can utilize. Please feel free to do so. Share the link with your friends. Let them in on the conversation as well. To begin today's show, we're going to take a look at Jacoby Ellsbury. And now the report right at the beginning of spring training was that Ellsbury is still injured. He'll be sidelined until at least sometime in March. Honestly, it's not a bad thing for the Yankees because, let's face it, where does 35-year-old Jacoby Ellsbury fit on this roster? I think the only reason why he's still around is because of the insurance policy they have on his contract. The Yankees can accumulate up to $15.8 million of his contract that he's still owed per year. So that's a big number in insurance, and let's face it, the Yankees don't want to eat that contract. That's a lot of money to pay a guy who's not even playing for your franchise. So Ellsbury stays for now. You did hear the rumors that they were trying to maybe make a trade a bad contract for a bad contract. You heard the name Johnny Cueto come up in some trade talks. But this whole Ellsbury situation has been a complete mess. And it's been a really bad deal for the Yankees because, let's face it, he hasn't done much for this franchise. And looking back at it, I bet the Yankees are definitely kicking themselves that they made this deal. Especially with a guy like Bryce Harper still on the market, you know. He's a guy that could fit perfectly into this lineup, and I think that this contract, along with some other financial restraints, are really hampering the Yankees from going all in to try to get a guy like Harper. So Ellsbury continues to be a thorn in the Yankees' side. Really no timetable as to when he'll return and what he'll be when he returns, but when he does ultimately return, which you have to figure will be in sometime in the near future, it's going to create a logjam that I don't think the Yankees are really looking forward to, especially if Clint Frazier has a big spring this spring training and Gardner shows that he has still life in his bat and in his glove. You know, you have Stanton, Judge, Hicks. The outfield's very crowded, and Ellsbury just makes it that much more complicated. If you listened to our last podcast, you saw that we did a little bit of a Twitter questionnaire where we had some fans tweet in their responses, and they were part of our show. We're going to continue that trend of doing certain things differently, and today I have a list of questions that pertain to the Yankees this spring that we're going to discuss in further detail. And for that, I have a special guest in the building today, not only because she walked in the room as I was recording the podcast, but because she has a lot of Yankee knowledge, although I'm definitely sure I didn't brainwash her with most of this stuff, as this is mostly what I talk about. My very own sister, Jess Delahanty. Jess, how are you doing today?
Hi, Nick. How are you doing? I'm doing great.
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us on the show. In case you didn't know, Jess is the president of the Tyler Wade Fan Club. So if you hear her kind of brag about Tyler Wade, you know why. Tyler, if you end up tuning in, your biggest fan is right here in Garfield, New Jersey, just about 25 minutes away from the stadium. So hit her up. I'm sure she'll run the fan club for you. Now, let's look into spring training as your boy Tyler Wade and the Yankees have started spring training. Let's get right into our questions. first one we're going to look at. What player are you keeping an eye out for this spring?
Well, of course, like you said, Tyler Wade is one of my favorites. I'm definitely keeping an eye on him this spring, as I've done the past couple of spring trainings. But I really, really believe in Tyler Wade, and I think that it just needs some time, and he's going to be that player that the Yankees are looking for. So I'm looking forward to watching him this spring, hoping that he can do something, make his bat happen. I feel like he's a very good infielder. Now we just got to get the bat working. So we're keeping an eye on Tyler Wade this spring.
Yeah, if you look at Wade, defensively, he's phenomenal. You know, there's a lot of times where he stands out when you watch him defensively. The problem's been offensively. And remember, last spring he had a chance to make the big league club, got sick at the beginning of the year. That really hurt him. Hasn't really shown that he's been able to hit offensively at the big league level. In AAA, the guy completely rakes. He hits really well. He just has to make it translate. The issue with the current Yankees is there's really no set spot for him. You know, right now you have Tulowitzki and possibly Gleyber at short waiting for Didi to return. You have Gleyber and DJ LeMahieu at second. There's really not a lot of room for this Yankee team, but there is still a way that Wade can make this roster, I think, because number one, he has speed. He's great defensively. The Yankees are definitely looking for some guys that they could keep around. And you never know with injuries. So Wade's a guy that you could definitely keep an eye out this spring for. There's a lot of players in camp like him that are trying to make an impact on this roster. The guy I'm keeping an eye out for is Clint Frazier. And yeah, he's another guy who has been having trouble staying on the field with the concussion issues. And he's a guy that's been well hyped around the organization. Yankees seem to love this kid. And I can't wait to see if he can impact the team and stay healthy. Because if he could stay healthy, I think he has the tools to break into this roster somehow in some way in 2019. And could really cause problems for Brett Gardner out in left field. The more Frazier continues to improve and show that he's ready for the big leagues, I think that it puts more pressure on Gardner to produce. Because the Yankees can ultimately just make the move and have Frazier be the everyday left fielder and transition Gardner to more of a backup kind of outfielder role. So Frazier's the guy I'm keeping an eye out for, and I'm just hoping he can stay healthy because this is a kid that I think has a special talent and could be in the big leagues with the Yankees for a long time. Our next question will be along the same line, but we'll look ahead toward the season. What player are you most excited to watch in the 2019 season?
I'm definitely excited to watch Aaron Judge. He's definitely one of my favorite players. He's been doing very well. Last year getting hurt definitely did not help him. It was very disappointing to me to not be able to watch him. I think he's definitely going to be that player, you know, hitting the home runs, catching in the outfield. He's just that awesome player that everybody wants to watch. So I'm really watching for him, and hopefully he stays healthy this year and, you know, can make it through the entire season.
You know, Judge is a guy that you look at and you just hope that he can stay healthy, because not only does he put people in the stands, but he's a reason why a lot of people want to watch Yankee games. He goes about his business the right way. He's a great character on and off the field. You could tell that the guys in the clubhouse seem to really like him. He just stands out as an individual and a player. And it's not just because he's about 6'9" and gigantic in right field. The guy just has it. He's just a special talent. Yankees just hope that he can stay healthy, because a full year of Aaron Judge, you're going to get a great amount of production, both in the field and with the bat. So Judge is definitely a guy that I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans agree with you on or are excited to watch this year. The guy I'm excited to see is almost as big as Judge, but is still a guy that's transitioning to the American League, and that's Giancarlo Stanton. You know, Stanton, in his first year, he had some injuries that he dealt with that came out. He's a guy that I just can't wait to see what year two in the American League brings. He's getting used to DHing. He's getting used to the pitching. He's getting used to the different ballparks. I just think that this year is going to be a lot better for him. I think his numbers can improve as well. The comfort level is going to be there. It's just a matter of time. And if he can stay healthy along with Judge, these guys alone could hit 40 to 45 home runs apiece. That could be 90 home runs from two guys in your lineup. So Stanton could stay healthy and really make that transition and show that comfort that I think that he can show in his second year in the American League. The Yankees lineup's going to be even more scarier than a lot of people think. So with every positive, definitely comes some negatives. And of course, with every team, you have to be concerned about certain players and certain things that could happen. Is there a current player on this roster that you were concerned about heading into this season?
There's definitely a player I'm most concerned about, and that's Miguel Andujar. He has an amazing bat. I mean, the swing that this kid has is amazing. You know he's connecting with that swing. My biggest fear, though, is his fielding. Can he hold, you know, can he match his swing with now his defense in the field? That's what scares me the most. So, I mean, I hope he does because he's a great kid. He fits on the Yankee roster. Now it's just matching that swing with that defense in the field.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Andujar this year. And like you said, offensively, he showed signs of greatness even as a rookie. It seemed like he didn't miss a beat. The issue comes, can he field the third base? And what happens if he cannot hold down the position? You know, let's face it, the elephant in the room is gone. Manny Machado has reportedly signed with the San Diego Padres. That's gone. That's over with. But we all know how New York works, and we all know how the New York media works. If Andujar struggles, what are the people going to say? Well, you know, the Yankees got quote-unquote cheap, which I think is a ridiculous statement, and didn't sign Machado, who was a surefire bet at third base. And then the reports come in that they're looking at a guy like Nolan Arenado or are trying to trade for a third baseman at the deadline. There's a lot of pressure for Andujar to produce right away. And he's a guy that, if he could just figure it out defensively, he's a guy that I would want to pencil into the third base spot for 162 games a year for the next 10-plus years. He's that good. It's just a matter of if his offseason work will translate into the regular season and beyond. And we've seen the reports. He's done a lot of different things over the offseason to kind of get on track defensively, and the Yankees are trying to change a few things in his motion, mechanics, to help him out. You just hope that they translate. So there's a lot of pressure on Andujar. My guy is Gary Sanchez. Well, for a really bad year, we know he had the problem with his shoulder. I want to see how Sanchez does offensively and defensively. The Yankees need him to be a little bit great at both. They cannot afford him to struggle behind the plate because that will hurt the pitching staff. And when you're looking at this Yankee bullpen, they have a lot of dynamite arms with a lot of crazy movement on their pitches. So Sanchez is going to have to be a wall behind the plate, and he's going to have to be just as good defensively as he is offensively. Now, a lot of people don't talk about Sanchez the way that they should in terms of offense. Let's remember, this guy was a 30-home run guy just a couple of years ago. There's a lot of power and a lot of offensive prowess in that guy's bat. He has the tools to do it. Let's see if he'll be able to translate, and let's see if he'll be healthy. I think health is going to play a major role in Sanchez, and the Yankees are hopeful that he could be that guy that they expected when he first broke into the big leagues, because hitting him behind Stanton and Judge, that if they're all on, that gives opposing managers and opposing pitchers a nightmare, because who do you throw to? Sanchez is the guy that I'm most concerned about. I'm just hoping that with the shoulder surgery behind him, he's able to get back on track, because it would be a great boost for this Yankee team. One of the Yankees' biggest concerns heading into this past offseason was the fact that Didi Gregorius was going to miss time due to Tommy John surgery. As the Yankees prepare for the 2019 season, they have a couple of options in their middle infield that they can turn to get the job done till Didi comes back. If you were Aaron Boone, opening day, 2019, who's your middle infield?
This is a very good question. Of course, me being the president of the Tyler Wade fan club would love to say that I see Gleyber Torres at short and Tyler Wade at second. I truly believe Tyler Wade can handle the second base position, but his bat, again, like I said previous, his bat has got to get stronger and get better to earn that spot at second. But again, if I was Aaron Boone and I'm making the decision right now, I'm seeing Tulowitzki at short and Gleyber Torres at second. That's just what I'm seeing right now. But again, Tyler Wade's got to prove himself with the bat.
Now, see, I think Tyler Wade will start in the middle infield, but I think it's going to happen in Scranton. I think that that's a good thing for him because, let's face it, with the dynamic the Yankees have on their roster right now, there's not a lot of playing time to go around. I would love to see Wade get every day at bats at shortstop in AAA and hopefully be able to impact this team in case of an injury or something down the road. Right now, you have to look at this roster and say to yourself, well, They guaranteed Tulowitzki to start, and they guaranteed LeMahieu to start, but there's not enough spaces for everybody. So how do you figure this out? If I'm looking at the Yankees roster right now, I'm saying Tulowitzki at short, Gleyber at second on opening day. And the way that I think they're going to get around this is there's going to be days where Torres plays short, which I absolutely hate because I don't want him flip-flopping between the two positions, and LeMahieu slides in at second base. Or LeMahieu's at third and Andujar DHs. The Yankees have a lot of versatile pieces, so it'll be interesting to see how Aaron Boone does manage it, especially trying to give guys days off without taking their bats out of the lineup. But ideally, I would think that the Yankees committed to Tulowitzki, and I think that if healthy and proves that he's the guy that they think he could be, he'll be at shortstop playing on the same ground that his idol Derek Jeter played a couple of years ago, and Gleyber will be in his natural habitat in the Bronx at second base. Our next question pertains to the first base competition, if you call it that. Who do you think the Yankees opening day first baseman will be?
I don't even have to think about this answer. Luke Voit. I mean, he is just... He's winning the Yankees' hearts. You could see it. He plays with such heart, this kid. His bat is amazing. He's getting stronger defensively. I could see him first base, Luke Voit.
I love how Luke Voit does the little Sammy Sosa hop after he hits a home run. I just hope that he's not Shane Spencer in terms of being a one-hit wonder. That's the thing you have to go into this season worried about. How will Luke Voit kind of adjust to the adjustments that these pitchers are going to make? I think, honestly, that the Yankees are going to give Greg Bird every chance to win a spot in this roster, and I think that ultimately he will get a chance in the big league level in a platoon type of situation. But ultimately, I think that Voit gets the majority of the at-bats at first base. And over time, I think that LeMahieu's going to get a lot of at-bats there too. I think the Yankees are going to try to use him in multiple roles, and there's not going to be a role for Bird unless he proves that he can hit. It's a big spring training for Bird. I think that time's ticking with him, and Voit's knocking at the door. So I agree with you there. I think Voit will be in the lineup on opening day. And I'll make a bold prediction for you. He'll be in the lineup and he'll hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. So
I agree.
We'll go there. We'll give that bold prediction on that. and Luke Voit will be your starting first baseman for the New York Yankees. Now we're going to transition over to the pitching staff. And what starter do you think will have the most wins for the 2019 Yankees?
This year, I think Severino's going to be a strong pitcher for the Yankees and actually get most of the wins for them. I think he is such a strong pitcher. At the end of last season, he really tired out. You know, in the beginning, he started off really strong, and then he started struggling at the end of the season. I really hope this year he could, you know, keep the momentum going throughout the entire season and really prove himself. I mean, I was watching some footage the other day of him throwing. Woof! I would not want to get in the batter's box and have to hit against him. So I really hope he's the one that, you know, he really proves himself and follows through all year.
I think Severino's got 40 million reasons to pitch well this year. Yankees just extended him. They showed that they have confidence in him long term. I think that's going to go a long way for a young pitcher like him. Like Jess said, he struggled at the end of last year. His second half, he was terrible. You know, he wore down, you could tell that. But during the offseason, he worked on things to help his stamina and help him become a better pitcher. And you could tell he's a student of the game. He wants to get better. He wants to improve. A lot of guys would be content with the record that he put together and the dynamic first half that he had. I just think that he's hungry. He wants to win, and he wants to be that guy that on opening day and game one of the playoffs or game one of the World Series, he wants to be the guy with the ball. Severino's a great bet for the most wins on this team, but I'm going to go with his Japanese friend, Masahiro Tanaka. A little bit of a bold prediction there, but I like where Tanaka's been. If Tanaka could stay healthy, he has the ability to be one of the best pitchers in this game. Yes, he has to avoid letting up the home run. It's an average. He lets up one per game at Yankee Stadium. Then he settles down. But if Tanaka could stay healthy and continue to utilize his pitches and his strengths, I think that he'll have a good year. He'll lead the Yankees in wins. He's been really good for them since they got him. And again, health is another issue for him. Stay healthy. That UCL is always a concern. It's kind of a ticking time bomb. You just hope that that doesn't explode. CC Sabathia is calling it a career after this season. This will be his 10th season in the Bronx. Remember, 2009, he came to the Yankees, helped the Yankees win the World Series. As CC embarks on his final year of his career, how many wins does the left-hander have in his final go-around?
I'm going to have to go with 7. It does seem like a lower number, but CeCe is getting older in age. You know, last year was not the CeCe that we're used to seeing. And I feel like now with the heart condition and, you know, health trouble, I feel like it may be a little bit struggling for him. It is a little concerning. So I hope he does well, but I'm going to go with 7.
7 is a lower number than I was thinking. Over the last 4 years that CeCe's been healthy, he's averaged about 9.5 wins. And you have to remember, not last year, the year before, CeCe had 14 victories for the Bronx Bombers. I'm going to go with 8, not too far off from where you are. I just think that with health and his numbers and everything, I think 8's a good number. I also think that the Yankees will try to limit his amount of workload. He is getting older. Durability is an issue. The knee, the heart, you name it, it's been an issue. But if he could get you 8 wins at the back end of the rotation, I'm sure the Yankees will sign up for it any given day. Mm-hmm. If you have 8 wins, keep a relatively solid ERA. Let the bullpen do the rest of the job. 150 innings from CeCe, and I'll be a happy man. And we'll see how that goes. But, of course, CeCe's been great for the Yankees. Wish him nothing but the best in his final season. He's been nothing but an asset to this organization ever since he stepped foot in the Bronx. So before we get back into the offense, what relief pitcher, and now we know the Yankees bullpen is legitly stacked, what relief pitcher do you think will be the most valuable for Aaron Boone this season?
To me, it's easy. Chapman. I see Chapman come out, and I know, here we go. He's just going to strike him out. I have full confidence in him. You know, he throws that fastball, swishes it past people. I mean, I don't even think sometimes they even see the ball coming. I really like Chapman. I'm excited to watch him. Again, when he hits the mound, I know, like, here we go. Game over. We win.
Now, if Chapman can stay healthy, that's a big plus for the Yankees. Let's not forget, Chapman has the opportunity to opt out of his contract after this year. So if Chapman can stay healthy, I expect a really good season out of him to hopefully help his market if he decides to opt out. Mine's a two-part answer, because I kind of have a co-answer for this. Half of it is Dellin Betances, because like Chapman, Betances could be a free agent this year. There's a lot on the line for Betances, and he's trying to get extended by the Yankees or make a big payday elsewhere. I think it's an important year for him. I just think that he's going to come out just like last year and have a really dynamite year. And the other one I think is going to be valuable, and I think that ultimately he's going to be the Yankees' biggest asset, is Adam Ottavino, the newly acquired Adam Ottavino, who is wearing number 0, which is pretty cool if you ask me.
That's a cool number.
Ottavino has dynamite stuff, and I can't wait to see how it translates to New York. He threw a simulated bullpen today against some live hitters, struck out Gleyber Torres, Luke Voit, and your boy Tyler Wade. I'm sorry, I had to say it. But he's just a guy that I think is going to come in and be an asset right away. Yeah, losing David Robertson stinks, and he was a good clubhouse guy, a guy that really did well during his time in the Bronx. But I just think that ultimately Ottavino is going to fulfill that role, and Yankee fans are going to kind of forget about Robertson in a way. Not forget what he did for the club, but Ottavino is going to fill that void nicely to the point where Yankee fans aren't crying that, oh man, we miss David Robertson. We need him back. I think that the Yankees bullpen set. I think Ottavino is going to be the strongest piece of this bullpen, especially given that it's his first year in New York and it seems like he's ready to take on the spotlight of the Bronx. Now, let's look back at the offense. One more offensive question. I think we can maybe make a wager on this because if I know you, I know which way you're going to go with this answer. So I'm pretty sure that, and no, it's not Tyler Wade, because if she says Tyler Wade, I'm kicking her out. Which New York Yankee will lead the Bronx Bombers in home runs this upcoming season, and give me a number of home runs?
Well, of course, number 99, Aaron Judge. What kind of question is that?
How many homers?
Oof. I'm going to say 43, 44. You know, last season he went down, he got injured. He didn't have, you know, the opportunity to get those extra at-bats. So this year, if he stays healthy, I'm saying 43, 44.
I'm going to go against you on this one. I think that we can make a little wager off of this. I'm going to say Giancarlo Stanton. So you're saying Judge with 43? I'm
saying Judge with 43.
I'm going to say Giancarlo Stanton with 46
Ooh.
Homers.
Woo.
Now, as we all know, I am coming off a fresh victory in the North Carolina Duke game. So my confidence is riding high. So I think we should make a little wager on this that we should determine what kind of wager we should make on this.
I think we should. I think so.
You have Aaron Judge, and I have Giancarlo Stanton.
Aaron Judge, if you're listening, take some extra swings this season.
Now let's give an over-under, right? You said 43 for Judge, I said 46 for Stanton. If you combine Judge and Wade's home run total in 2019, does it equal or exceed Stanton?
Ooh, I think it's probably going to be less than what you're saying for Stanton.
Thank you. That's how you know she is that she's learning the way to be a true baseball mind and not give in to the fact that she loves Tyler Wade. Good job on that. We will definitely have to make a wager on that home run total, and we'll keep an eye on that as the season goes on. We might have to make like a little tally and one of those little posts, and so I could brag a little bit more. Did I remind you that Carolina beat Duke?
Yep, you told me. Mm-hmm.
Zion's shoe exploded, people. Great stuff. So, let's get back on track. We have two more total questions. The first one is, how many wins for the Yankees in 2019? They won 100 games last year. Do they equal that or exceed that this year?
I'm saying they exceed that. If everyone stays healthy and, you know, and they're looking like a strong team, that they can do it. I mean, I'm hoping for more than 100 wins and a trip to the World Series. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm thinking 100 wins is doable, especially because right now the Red Sox aren't as strong as last year. Losing Kimbrel and Kelly in the back end of the bullpen is going to hurt them. I could see 103 wins. I think it's going to be tough in the American League. You have a couple of really good teams. Mm-hmm. I think if you get out of the gauntlet of the American League, the Yankees have a really good chance of winning the World Series. And, of course, it's been a long time since 2009. We need a party in New York.
We do.
And we're overdue.
Ticker tape parade. Let's go.
And let's look at our final question. Give us a bold prediction for the 2019 season.
My bold prediction is definitely going to be with Sanchez. I feel like he's going to come out and be the strong catcher that we're all looking for, both offensively and defensively. He's going to really show, you know, why he's the catcher on the New York Yankees this year. He's going to prove himself and show us, you know, what we've been missing last season.
My bold prediction is this, and this is a little biased because of my love for Troy Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki is the starting shortstop until Didi comes back. Hold on. Until Didi comes back in mid-June. So Tulo stays healthy and is an asset in the Yankees lineup until Didi comes back. Bold enough that I'm thinking that Tulo, who's been hurt over the last 2 years, is going to actually stay healthy. But seeing the way he's swinging during spring training and the way he looks, Tulo is going to be a great addition to this club. He's going to make an impact on this roster. That's going to wrap up our rapid-fire questions for today. Jess, I thank you for coming on. It was fun. We'll have to do this again.
Thanks for having me.
And again, if Tyler Wade's listening, what's your Twitter handle?
@Jess_Delahanty.
@Jess_Delahanty. Reminder to all our fans, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, comment, review the show. Anything you want to do on there, leave some feedback. We appreciate all the feedback that we do get. If you want to shoot us an email, feel free to do so. PinstripeTalk@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @PinstripeTalkND. My personal account @Nick_Delahanty. Jess's personal account is @Jess_Delahanty. You can also find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, Simplecast. There's a lot of ways to listen to our show. Heck, listen to it on all four. Enjoy our show. We enjoy all our talking about the Yankees, and we hope that you join in on the conversation. We're getting close to spring training games. It's exciting. We're ready to go. Creeping closer to opening day. As always, let's go Yankees. The quest for World Series title is back on. Until next time, this is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Thanks for listening.